One of the things that we do forget is that for much of the world's population, radio remains their primary source for information. So if you look at surveys that were done as recently as last summer in Liberia and Sierra Leone, as the Ebola crisis was winding down, they came up with figures of 93-94% of the population saying that radio was their preferred and their primary source of information. So it still plays a central role in the lives of many people. And as we know, even in New York during Sandy and, you know, in the developed world, when there's an emergency, information is critical. It's life-saving. In the case of an armed conflict or a health emergency, it really can mean the difference between life and death. And people count on that. The wonderful thing about radio is it's low cost, it's portable, and it's, you know, still very, very relevant throughout the world.
When you're working with local radio, what is important in terms of training the journalists to be able to formulate their messages to the populations?
Thinking back to the Ebola crisis, where you really had two epidemics going on side by side. One was a health epidemic, and one was an epidemic of fear. And in this case, radio, with its proximity, its credibility, the radio journalists being from communities that were affected, speaking the same language, understanding the cultural norms, were really a means of getting information to the population and having that information picked up as being credible. I remember a gentleman in Liberia saying that if the messenger cannot be trusted, the message cannot be believed. And I think that's really that, you know, proximity. So it's not just journalists that need to be trained, it's also humanitarians to understand that it matters that the source is trusted. And for the journalists working in situations of crisis where they perhaps have less access to some of the things that we take for granted, like internet connections and electricity, they can still do very good reporting with very low-cost battery-operated equipment. I think, you know, what we're seeing is a wide range of different kinds of reporting. So even music is being used, drama, and then the more standard sort of interviews, news items. One of the things that we've seen in post-conflict or in insecure situations is the power of debate, where you can actually bring protagonists to the table. We're doing that in Mali at Studio Tamani, where protagonists in the conflict gather around a table and talk to each other. And it's really the radio that's providing that forum. I remember as well at Radio Muraya in South Sudan during the conflict that preceded the current conflict, there was a conflict in Jonglei after independence. And members of different ethnic youth groups gathered in the studio in Juba at Radio Muraya and really started a dialogue that wasn't yet taking place on the ground. So they really kind of open the doors to dialogue and to exchange. And we're also able to speak to the population, who, of course, was desperate to know what was going on.
What about the latest innovations in radio? Has it changed the way radio is being used?
Believe it or not, it's a very exciting sector. Many people sort of think radio is old hat, but that's not at all the case. And I think as we're seeing in the United States right now, there's just an explosion of podcasting. And I think that in the context in which we're working in supporting intervention around humanitarian crisis and disaster, there's a real potential for podcasting. We've actually tested the technology in Sierra Leone of creating podcasts and disseminating them via Bluetooth. So you don't even need an internet connection. We're also seeing some innovations, you know, more smartphones. I think that's going to open up streaming and podcasts, and also platforms or apps that are already loaded onto these inexpensive smartphones, like Instagram, Snapchat, WhatsApp. That's a very popular app. And so in addition to radio, we're seeing sort of companion reporting. So there could be a radio report and then a companion media on the web or Instagram. You can take a 15-second clip and post it onto Instagram as sort of a teaser. And some of those even go viral. So radio is no longer just the audio that you tune into on your FM or shortwave radio. It's sort of audio. It could be accompanied by visual. It can be onto a website with photography. It can be streamed. It can be downloaded. So I think it's a very exciting time, actually, to be working in radio.